This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, May 16th. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast back again. Want to wish a happy birthday to my mother. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday.
I would like to say happy belated Mother's Day to everyone's mother.
Okay.
What do you got, Mike?
It's fine. I would like to say hello to my mom.
Oh. I didn't think it had to be competitive just because my mom had a birthday. Big show today. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. The Borgogan is here. Al Borland, not so much. But Jay
Who
Grizz.
Who needs him?
Jay Grizz is stepping in.
A lazy day. Oh, man.
Yeah, if you know him, you know
how
him.
Lazy
you know
he
him.
Is.
Yes. Guys, just...
This bit is for one person.
This bit is for one man.
Hundreds of thousands of people listening, and we're going to use this time
to drive over Jeremy with the bus and, I would say, valuable use of our time, to be honest.
I'm sure the judge is really enjoying it. How you doing, Judge?
Doing great.
Good.
I didn't hear the judge defend him. I'll tell you that much.
No, they're always at odds. We promised it. We got a great show today. We have some, I know Jason made it through all of his rankings. Mike's made it through or very close to that.
Very, very close.
And so our the UDK is going to be here very, very soon. All of our player projections, sleepers, breakouts, busts, we're figuring that stuff out right now. But I promise we would have a very, very, very big announcement.
Whoa!
I just want to let it breathe. Let Jason breathe here.
Oh, mega the show! Yes!
We have a big live event.
Your eyes got so big and scary.
Coming your way.
I was the shark. I was the megalodon. We're doing a gigantic, never before done, single megala show in Los Angeles. For 1,000 people at an unbelievable venue, and we need y'all there.
That sums it up. At the Palace Theater in Los Angeles, August 26th. It's our only live show of the year.
That's a Saturday.
We're doing a huge event. We want to see you there. Come watch the show live. There will be a lot of special things going on that day. So you do not want to miss it. If many of you out there, you've been to a live event, thank you for coming. Those are always so fun, the energy. I mean, look at the date. Saturday, August 26th, on the cusp of the new season. Great things in store for all of you. So please join us. How do you do it? It's very easy.
You fly to Los Angeles.
Ballers Live.
Or drive or walk.
Yeah. Well, you need a ticket. Don't do all those things without a ticket.
That's true. First step, secure your ticket.
BallersLive.com. Go there now. Secure your ticket. It will sell out. We have done a couple of shows in LA in the past, smaller venues. They have all asked us to do other nights because they sell out so quick in LA. Go get the tickets, ballerslive.com. We want to see you there. Very special Megala Show event brought to you by our friends at Underdog Fantasy.
Yes.
Who are sponsoring the event. And like I said, this is our only live show of the year. So
you want to see us come to LA.
Find your way to LA.
I know a lot of people have wanted, we've grown internationally. People have been like, when are you going to do a show in the UK? And look, this is an international airport destination. So we're basically doing a UK show. It's just in Los Angeles where you need to fly across the globe to come see us. And we've got some cool special things up our sleeves for that show.
This will be a lot of fun. And dare I say, Al will be there. Al will probably make the trip.
I don't know.
He missed it last year in L.A. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, man. I did.
Was he being lazy again?
Same exact laziness. Same exact reason.
I need a day off. I don't want to do the live show.
But, I mean, in his voice. I could never do his voice. But no, this is going to be so much fun. You heard Jason's excitement at the beginning.
Be there.
I've heard tale of things Jason is planning on doing when he runs out on stage.
My chest tattoo should be healed by the time to rip that shirt off. You don't want to miss it.
Oh, now, does the shark wrap around to your back?
Yeah, he's eating my...
Oh, it's like a shark bite.
A shark, he's eating your what?
He's eating my left breast. So you gotta want to see this. Do
Megalotat.
Do not miss this show.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, we aren't going to be able to put that on YouTube. I mean, that's some not safe for work stuff.
We'll definitely have to check the not for kids box on that one. Ballerslive.com. Go get your tickets. That's our big announcement. We're going to have a really, really good time. Quick question of the day for today's show. Now that we have kind of gone through each and every team for our player projections for the upcoming rankings to be released on June 1st with the UDK, I thought this question was great. Which team's targets have been the hardest to figure out and divvy up amongst all the teams? And we each have a different answer. I don't know if that was because we just tried to find a different answer, or these are actually the hardest.
These are three great answers. When I saw your guys' teams, I was like, heck yeah. I mean, your guys' teams are very different in the sense that I feel like you could have a different leader for each of us from those wide receiver corps. For me, it was the Giants. And it was the Giants just because they're taking the throw spaghetti at the wall approach to their wide receiver core. You've got Wandale Robinson coming back from injury, Sterling Shepard coming back from injury. Those might be their two best wide receivers, but are they going to be healthy? They've got Jalin Hyatt, new exciting rookie, but he's a rookie. Isaiah Hodgins, they signed Paris Campbell. They've got Darius Slayton. I mean, it is a logjam.
They did sign Jamison Crowder as well.
I mean, you want to talk about the largest room of mediocre wide receivers in the league. Giants, you did it.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. And just knowing how much they use Saquon and the tight end and not knowing how they'll distribute any value at all to the wide receiver room. I mean, is there going to be any? For me, it was the Chiefs. Here's what I know about the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will pass for more than 5,000 yards this year. Here's what I don't know about the Chiefs is how that distribution is going to break down among MVS, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore,
Rashee Rice,
Justin Watson, and from the aforementioned Giants who, you know, they just added Richie James, who had 57 receptions last year, not for Patrick Mahomes, but for Daniel Jones for over 500 yards.
And Justin Ross is still
And Justin
lurking.
Ross is still hanging around. And so, you know, I statted six receivers.
Yeah, I think we had the same six. We did have the same six. But I'm curious, Mike, who you have as the target leader if you've done the Chiefs.
I have in...
Target leader.
Yes, target.
Yeah, the target leader is a maybe superstar who only has two career touchdowns. And it's Kadarius Toney for me. That's where I would take the shot, but...
I have MVS with more targets than Toney, and Jason has Toney.
Correct.
And the hard part about, you know, you say breaking up the targets is that if Toney is the lead target projection, he's also always hurt. So even sure. if you got it right, he could still get hurt and everything gets messed up. And we saw last year, Sky Moore, like awful rookie year, 22 receptions total. So you've got that hanging over the hype around Rice. And it should be a very interesting situation of probably ping-ponging value.
Yeah, being the target leader for Patrick Mahomes sounds so great on paper, but there is a very realistic world where the wide receiver target leader is not that great for fantasy. Was Juju the target leader last year? That's kind of how,
so.
From memory, I believe it went down, and he was okay, but he was nothing special for fantasy, and that could very well be the case. So when we say I've got Kadarius Toney down leading them in targets, that still might be irrelevant with how many weapons he's going to throw to and the fact that Travis Kelce is the alpha.
And the second target leader was MVS last year, and that equated to just 600 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
So it's a tough one. Mike, what do you have as your one of the more difficult ones to figure out?
So I'm in agreement with you guys on both of those. I just did the Giants about an hour before the show, and I sat down and I said, Jason, how did you possibly do this? Because it's a disaster. But hey, special shout out to the Baltimore Ravens for also having their own situation where I don't know what is going on. Because you have Odell Beckham off of his second ACL injury. Is he washed? Rashad Bateman looked okay for a couple games. And then a first round rookie pick in Zay Flowers. And I mean, like the Chiefs, where the wide receivers won't be the number one target because that'll be Mark Andrews, but it's how does this wide receiver room shake up? And then just before the show came out, there was a tweet from Michael Fabiano who had, Glenn Clark from a Baltimore radio station. He had him on, and according to Glenn Clark, at least, he was saying, as of right now, Rashad Bateman is the number one wide receiver for the team. That's how he would draft them in fantasy football. But it's extremely difficult because I do believe one of those three guys will have like a top 30 type of value. And if it's Rashad Bateman, you'll have that value plus spike weeks on top of that. But I don't know which of the three, and I don't know how that ADP is going to shake up. My confidence in there is not strong. Thankfully, it's only May, and we can get some more clarity. But as of right now, that is just – it is as foggy as can be.
Yeah, that's another depth chart where I'm curious who the target leader is. You can make legitimate mathematical and historical arguments for at least three different guys being the wide receiver target leader. Who did you guys stat as the leader? I actually, this is not how I usually roll with rookie wide receivers, but I have Zay Flowers leading in targets season one.
I have Beckham with the most targets.
And I have Bateman.
So there you go.
Let me refresh your memory from last year. This makes it so much harder too. Do you know how many total tight end targets there were for the Baltimore Ravens last year?
Between Andrews and Likely?
No, just the tight end position in total.
I do, but that's not fair.
204.
Yeah.
So Andrews was only 113 of that. If you watch Isaiah Likely, that's another weapon they have in the room that can,
yes.
You know, he might be a better weapon than Beckham is, right, in totality. And so you have multiple tight ends. Last year, I know it's going to be different, but wide receivers were 225 in targets. Tight ends were 204. That is almost the same amount of targets between those two rooms.
Yeah, with Greg Roman, the personnel, having no wide receivers healthy or available or talented, I think it will shift dramatically this year with Todd Monken coming in, drafting Zay Flowers, bringing in Odell. I think they'll run a little bit more 11 personnel. And
that's one of the things going through all of the rankings that was really interesting to me is, like, we do the Things to Remember show. And one of the things to remember for me was these changes don't always work out, whether it's head coach or offensive coordinator. Like, percentage-wise, every year, philosophical changes, yes, they come in, they arrive. You hire somebody else, you want to fix the situation. But a lot of them don't work, and identifying which situations you think, look, this they needed a fresh, you brought up like maybe the Chargers, right, would be one that kind of seemed like obviously stale, probably can't get worse. Like, I think that might be a good way to go about it, is like which offensive situations probably can't get worse that will get better, as opposed to, looking at something like Dallas where, look, statistically they were great. So, like, they have a lot of room to get worse. Whereas a team like the Chargers, they had a lot of, like, obvious issues. So maybe that's one that you can feel more secure about projecting improvement. Baltimore is one of those as well, potentially, where they were just so – but they were also hurt. So those are hard.
Yeah, it would be very difficult to imagine Baltimore's offense being worse in 2023 than it was with the talent and injuries in 2022.
Just take Lamar away. That would be a problem.
That would do it.
Hopefully we get a healthy season out of the very wealthy Lamar Jackson. Well earned.
News and notes from around the league.
Apparently this is news from the Footcast.
Just news. This was
important.
This is very important. Not mega show important of announcement, but we do have a correction that we need to issue.
Oh boy.
Someone in our Discord let us know. I pronounced the new tight end from Dallas. I called him Luke Schoonmaker, which apparently it is in fact Schoonmaker, which makes the Schoon Man reference even Schoon Man.
Oh,
look, you got to come together with your hands, hands and save me. So it makes the joke even better. So I am very happy to report that we were wrong, and it is
better.
It is now better. It is the Schoon Man.
Yeah, his name is spelled
S-C-H. Yeah. It's spelled
but it
Schoon.
Is a, what did I say? It's a Dutch name. And so it's pronounced Schoon
Man.
So this is the top of our news. Brooks, yeah. This is the top.
I did say.
Priorities.
I did.
Darn right.
Tell him, make sure this is the top of the news.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Brooks is nodding. All right, here we go. Jeremy Fowler reports there's not a clear-cut avenue for Dalvin Cook to be traded at the moment. The Vikings over the weekend, they moved their illustrious defensive end, Za'Darius Smith, right? I mean,
yeah, we knew they were going to make some salary cap moves.
That was one of the when you listen to the beat reporters around Minnesota, they thought they'd salvage Smith and Cook might be out the door. They didn't. They moved Za'Darius Smith to Cleveland. Right now, the team, all the signs, it looks like they're moving on from Dalvin Cook. But he hasn't been moved yet, and according to reports, they want to do right by him. They'd like to put him in a situation he wants to be in. Obviously, if they cut him, he can choose a situation.
Yeah, that's we want to put him in the best situation for him. Well, then cut him. Let him go sign a deal, because that's the best situation for Dalvin Cook. What they want to do is have something back, because they want the best situation for them, which I don't blame them. That's their job. But you can't be like, we just want what's best for Dalvin. If you do,
they do, but they also want that team to financially help out.
They have what, till June 1st?
They do. If they were going to cut him, though, you can mark it post June 1st and cut him now so he can go visit teams and try to make a deal.
So no conclusion to the Dalvin Cook saga just yet. Here's some big news, in my opinion, especially when looking at the Saints and projecting them for the season. There's a full expectation. Absolutely was the word head coach Dennis Allen used on whether Foster Moreau will be ready for the start of OTAs. Moreau.
Great story.
Just signed a deal, 3-year deal. And when you look at what was being reported about his Hodgkin's lymphoma, they said it was like one of the least invasive cases that they had seen was the word that was put out there. So he expects to be playing. And that, you know, he's a good tight end. I mean,
yes, he is.
When you look at kind of a breakout season in store for Juwan Johnson and you take Foster Moreau.
It hurts.
You know, who had a 420 yards receiving last year. That's bigger production than what you had with Troutman there. So it does muddy that water a little bit, especially when you know that Taysom Hill is going to get snaps too. Also from the Saints, Michael Thomas, quote, had hardware removed from his injured foot about a week ago. I don't know. Has it been 3 years of talking about Michael Thomas injuries and hardware and surgery?
I am ready for fool me thrice or whatever.
That's what for.
Fool me quattro, because I will be ready to go back in.
Oh, I didn't see you go. So you are willing to make the mistake again.
Yes. I mean, over those first two games, 25%, 23% target share. 5 for 57 and 2 touchdowns, 6 for 65 with a score. Like it's going to be a high risk maneuver, but you're not going to it's not going to be high risk ADP wise. So he, I imagine he's going to settle into a point where I'm willing to take the chance.
And to be fair, this procedure to have the hardware removed is not a big procedure. It shouldn't be something that you are worried about. In fact, this could be an upgrade. A lot of players, once they have the original procedure done, don't like playing with it and get it removed.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, another approach you could take is just nope.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. 100%.
That's one of the more, that one I never worry about the hardware.
Yeah. 100%. You can make that decision. But it was just like, to me, those first two games were at least, Michael Thomas can still play.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to make the judgment call on whatever it was, 11 receptions in a couple games. We hadn't seen him. It's a pretty clear depth chart. I mean, I like Rashid Shaheed.
Olave's
going to be a star.
It's Olave and Thomas.
The tight ends, but you won't have Kamara to start the year, so you're going to have a lot of opportunity for Thomas.
Really tough, though, to bet on a wide receiver who has played so few games in the last several years, and then hearing, another little, oh, it's minor. It's just another minor surgery. The amount of times that we heard, oh, this ankle issue is not a big deal, and then he misses a whole season. It's disconcerting. If this was a 22-year-old having a minor procedure done, I'd be far more likely to be like, okay, he should recover well, and I'm confident that this isn't an issue.
I imagine I know your guys' answer, but I think there are kind of some parallels here, at least over the last two seasons, for Michael Thomas and Kadarius Toney. Now, Kadarius Toney doesn't have Michael Thomas's history of four straight years being a wide receiver one, but like Toney will be drafted. Kyle, what's Kadarius Toney going right now in best ball?
I'll look it up real quick.
Okay, so people I think are going to be more excited for Kadarius Toney, and to me, like,
That's fair.
They're equally risky, but I know for sure that Michael Thomas can play. Yeah, so Toney is wide receiver 35, so 10 spots apart positionally right now in best ball.
I think it's a very fair point. You've seen an offense be run entirely through Michael Thomas. You have never seen that with Kadarius Toney. And my biggest worry with Toney is that Andy Reid's smart. And I think a smart Andy Reid doesn't make Kadarius Toney the linchpin of your offense. You run a bunch of smart stuff with him the way you did. You know, you use Mecole Hardman a certain way. You use Juju a certain way. I think that's what they'll do with Toney. And if Toney gets hurt, then they'll, you know, it's not undermining your whole offense. Thomas, Toney, both very risky. I don't know which one. I mean, if you're talking 10 picks later, I guess I'd be Thomas.
That's just positionally, too. That's not just like 10 ADP spots.
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I've currently got Kadarius Toney as my wide receiver 33 and Michael Thomas at 41. So I'm about where they are ADP. I'm going to take the younger player with Patrick Mahomes. They both have a path towards being good for fantasy and a lot of risk.
Agreed. Speaking of risk, no one more risky than this guy, Javonte Williams. Sean Payton spent some time talking about Javonte Williams. It was like, you ever see that meme with that woman whose face is like smiling and then it goes...
Oh, the kombucha lady.
And then it goes down and then it goes... Yeah. Is that what she does? Oh. She's trying some kombucha?
Yeah.
And maybe? She's like...
Huh? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what I was doing when I read Sean Payton talk about Javonte Williams. Saying various quotes, including our current starter, Javonte, is doing extremely well. I would tell you that we expect him to be ready for the start of training camp.
That's the quote that's been shared the most. When the headlines, I think, that made their rounds on Twitter was, Javonte's going to be ready for training camp. He's healthy. He's good to go.
And then,
that's not really what it was.
Yeah, and then he goes on and says, we're pretty tight-lipped relative to information going out. I've read a lot, and I think his rehab is going well. That's interesting to me. He's read a lot. He's probably not. This is not first-hand testimony.
Read many books.
And then he says, we're hopeful that he is someone that might not have to go on PUP.
Yeah. Hold on. Hopeful that he is someone that might not have to go on
this PUP. This is J.K. It feels like J.K. Dobbins' situation entirely where, remember Dobbins was like, I'm there. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And oh, like, Dobbins bodied, was it Schefter
Rappaport? Yeah.
He's like, I'll be there week one. You don't know what you're talking about. And then...
So where do you draft?
He was not there week one.
Where do you draft? Hopefully, maybe, because that's what my nickname for him will be. Hopefully, maybe.
First of all, great nickname. Really like that because we love Javonte. He's super talented. I'm going to take the risk on Javonte pretty pretty late. I don't, you know, this is a lot of coach speak, and like you just said, he's read reports, he's hopeful for maybe, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to follow, like, I don't know, medical science and timelines of when he got injured, what his injury was, and the expectation that he should not be ready week one, and if he is, he should not be full strength. So I will err on the side of caution. Right now he is still my leader in the backfield, but he's outside the top 30 at running back. So if he falls far in a draft, I might scoop him up, but I don't have many shares.
You are a best ball king right now. How much Javonte have you drafted?
Oh, man, I think I grabbed him in one league.
So that is really low.
Yeah.
For the amount of leagues you're in.
Yeah, I don't grab a lot of Javonte Williams for this season.
Yeah, I have P. Ryan with more total carries on the year. So it's...
He also came out and talked about P. Ryan, talked about how he's, you know, can be basically a true workhorse back, a carry load, which he might need to do.
Yeah, he will.
4.1 a carry last year for Samaje P. Ryan. Two more bits of news we got to get into. One, the Panthers are not taking the route of going and saying Bryce Young's going to start week one the way that, you know, the Cardinals did with Kyler when they brought him in. Instead, they are placating the Red Rifle. Andy Dalton will get first team reps at OTAs.
Yeah, that's good.
They said it's going to be wide open.
Who needs all the first team reps? Come on.
What
is he transitioning from college to the NFL? Who needs those?
Now, tell me the truth, Jason. When you saw this news, did it lower your opinion of Frank Reich?
I tried not to think about how it affected my opinion of Frank Reich. It did make me roll my eyes into my soul.
Right.
It's just
and what
so
did you
dumb.
See there?
What I saw is Bryce Young starting week one.
Okay.
Yes. Because Bryce Young will start week one.
Yes, he will.
And because he's starting week one and the whole world knows he's starting week one, I feel like he should get all the first team reps.
Can I remind you, though, that was the way people talked about Justin Fields, and guess who started week one for Mr. Nagy?
Yeah.
Andy Dalton.
Oh, it's Dalton. It's
Andy
him.
Andy Dalton makes a great impression in OTAs and training camp.
We'll say the Carolina Panthers traded up to number one overall and not grabbed. Yeah, not trading up to get Fields at 13 or
Dalton,
whatever.
11, I think. Yeah.
Dalton bakes a mean scone. And so
he's
bringing
the
scones
scone
in. Yeah, he's pulling a Ted Lasso and
the
he's bringing
scone
in baked treats and saying, hey, dude, I am ready.
Of course he'd bring a scone. Any normal person would bring some donuts.
Yeah, I thought about donuts.
And much easier to eat food that's much more delicious.
And is alliteration with your name.
Scone right. is such a second or third string backup thing to bring.
Yeah.
Just walks in. I got some scones. Oh, you guys talking over the depth chart, huh?
Some scones.
How is this? Waft, waft.
Scones are there for dry mouth.
To receive dry mouth.
To receive it.
Yes, not to cure it.
Not to cure it, no.
I'm parched. Pass me a scone.
All right, I'm going to blow your mind right now. I'm going to blow your mind. We're sitting down this week, Sleepers, Breakouts, Busts, and Values, and one of the names that I am very, very, very.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, I'm
very,
with you, man.
Sure I want on that list.
Yes,
no.
I'm with you.
No.
And I'm going to put it in the value category, but you can that's where he belongs.
Don't do this.
Yes,
to me,
I
guys.
Love it. I love it.
Antonio.
I'm not strong enough.
Gibson.
100%.
Ron Rivera coming out. We got the hype train going. Once again, every year Mike is
I can't do this again.
Mike's got his head in his hand. Rivera said he wants to get more touches for Antonio Gibson. Why do I believe it now and not before? Because of Eric Bieniemy. Because I think the best player should be playing in Washington. Antonio Gibson is the best player.
I've thought that for a while.
And you have? I don't remember you ever saying it on the show. No, you've said that for years. He only averaged 13 touches a game in 2022. The versatility of Antonio Gibson, his pathway, and there people listening that are like, what are you talking about? Why would you say this? It's a great question because I never have before. But the reason why is because the pathway to fantasy relevance for Antonio Gibson, it's like the board game where you get the shortcut, okay? Some running backs, you got to go each spot on the board all the way to the end.
Little shoots and ladders
action. And ladders. Antonio Gibson, he goes up the ladders three or four times on his way to fantasy relevance because of his receiving capability in the offense. I've had Brian Robinson Jr. on my team. It is a slog, all right? It takes play after play after play after play. Please, touchdown, no touchdown. Okay, you're 18 for 59 and you didn't score. Antonio Gibson is so versatile. If that 13 touches goes up to 17, instant fantasy gold at the value. Well, where's his best ball spot?
RB 42.
Oh, please.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's kind of our guy, Jason.
Yeah, he's kind of been our champion. He's kind of been
call him our champ.
The world will not stand for this.
Yeah, I think the Foot Clan's going to remember our champion, Antonio Gibson, Andy and I's champion. But J.D. McKissic is also gone. And if you look, J.D. McKissic was extremely involved in the passing game the first 8 weeks last year before his unfortunate injury. He was on pace for 85 targets out of the running back room, and the running back room around Gibson is not pass catchers. So I do think with Bieniemy there, the vacated targets from McKissic and Gibson's skill set, I've got him receiving over 50 receptions in 2023, and that just makes him a value in general.
He has increased his reception total and his yards per catch each of his 3 years in the league.
I think if we spend time on this, Jason, we can get Mike on board. I just think if we...
I will say I have not statted the Manders yet.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
So I will take this information...
Running back to Antonio Gibson.
I'm told he's very Christian McCaffrey-like.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We're back. Oh, man. I'm still... We'll still see where we head beyond May here. Any other news, Brooksy?
No, sir.
All right. Quick break. Back with some mailbag.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
I love it so much that you're on board with Gibson too, Jason.
Oh, yeah. I was curious at first which way you were going to go.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I know you haven't really been he's always been your champion, of course, but...
right. Secretly.
Secretly, because...
I've denounced him.
Right.
But he's always been my secret champion.
The depth chart and the offensive coordinator make a lot of sense for Gibson to have a great utilization for fantasy relevance.
I wonder how many people listening right now have gone to ballerslive.com and purchased tickets for the live show.
I hope it's all of them.
Well, it can't be all of them. We only have 1,000 seats, Mike.
I just know that this is assigned seating, right?
Yes. It is. Yep.
So you
got to
hurry up. Ballers Live mailbag time.
If Antonio Gibson can have
he's thinking about it already.
A monster season, and then they bring him a contract, and he just goes dub fingers.
Oh, he turns it down?
Yeah, and goes, no, I'm going to hit the market, and I will be treated like the champion that I truly am, Ron.
And then he won't
Ronald.
He won't get money because he's a running back.
Stop it, Jason.
You don't dub fingers a contract. If you're
a running back, no, you don't.
You do the two forefingers, and you say, yes, give me.
Does anyone have a pen?
Yeah. Yeah, you sign it sight unseen. If it says the word contract at running back, you take it.
Mailbag.
Bang, boom, bang, ooh, yeah. All right, if you have a question for the show, you can send it our way, thefantasyfootballers.com. Visit the site, click the submit a question button, or dial the voicemail hotline. That number is 302-464-TFFB. Leave us a voicemail question. First question today comes in from Philbo Baggins.
Oh.
It's a cousin. Is zero RB a more viable strategy than ever this year? What do you think?
I think no. I think it will be a more common strategy this year. What really makes it stand out and work the best is when it is zigging, when other people are zagging. Right now, I think the reason people are thinking this is a great year for zero RB is actually backwards from reality. They're thinking this because people are wide receiver crazy in the first few rounds. Running backs are being pushed to the third and fourth round where, you know, that's usually the start of the dead zone, and you're thinking, I don't want running backs there right now. It's like, oh, I actually really like the running backs that are there because so many wide receivers, at least in like underdog best ball drafts right now, are going much higher than the running backs. But what that does is that, you know, what made zero RB so great is that you were getting at the end of the first round the best and the second best. That's where historically you were grabbing what would be the Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp combo because everyone went crazy on running backs. Right now, if you're going zero RB and you're at the end of the first round, which is, I guess, usually more where I play it. I know some people play it from anywhere. But now you're getting, you know, the wide receiver 8 and 9 to start your draft off. And
probably not that bad.
No, an underdog.
You're saying
an
underdog.
Yeah, and we do need to be careful.
But
underdog,
I'm saying, like, in
is,
a redraft, are you happy with – in a redraft, it could be Tyreek and Diggs.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. And
or Adams and
guys,
Diggs.
Yeah, Adams is usually around there, and Diggs can fall there.
This year, though, feels like – I don't know if you guys remember. It was – like our second or third year of the Fantasy Footballers, and it was the running backs were drafted real, real heavy, and they, like, across the position, they tanked, and they were just very, very poor, which is what it was this past year. And the exact same thing happened. The pendulum went completely the other direction. Everyone said, no, running backs are a disaster. They're all way too dangerous, and all the wide receivers went early. Running backs came back and had a monster season, and you had, you know, some real, real league winners at the position. So I wouldn't say it's more viable this year than ever because, like Jason said, the dead zone is of running backs that you don't want to reach for. That's going to be pushed down. So you're going to be in the third, maybe even the fourth round, and have a very viable starting running back available to you. So it's all about the market. Like, that's what you're playing. You're playing the ADP, and in zero running back, you're trying to collect a whole bunch of top 20 wide receivers. I'm not sure that you're going to be able to do that easily this year, depending on your draft slot.
I wonder then if that's the point where it's not two wide receivers. I wonder if that's the Kelsey spot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Kelsey and quarterbacks and stuff. The whole kind of point is that running backs get hurt. The running backs that you draft later, they appreciate in value because they get touches later on in the year due to injuries in front of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not viable. I just don't think it's specifically more viable this year than other years.
Yeah, but people that have been burned by running back injuries may turn to it, therefore making it more common, like you said. And if that's the case, then first rounds might look a little different.
Yeah.
All right, this question, it's about a team we talked about earlier. Powder East 77, is Darren Waller the top target for the Giants passing game this year?
Oh,
so yeah, I think it's worth talking about them briefly. I have Darren Waller with 98 targets on the season. That would make him the target leader.
I have him for 94 as the target leader, so we are in line there.
I have him at 112.
You know what's funny?
As the target leader.
That means that all three of our teams that we said we have a hard time kind of figuring out the wide receiver room is because all three teams had the target leader at tight end.
Yes.
Oh, Kelce, Andrews, and Waller.
Yeah.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. And it's the Giants, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier. You know, I've seen some projections from other people in the industry that some people think Sterling Shepard's going to be their top target at the wide receiver room, despite coming back from two catastrophic injuries. I mean, the amount of opinions are swaying all over. Paris Campbell had a billion targets last year. Wandale, what's his potential?
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year actually was Slayton and Hodgins. So, what a mess.
And, man.
For a team that doesn't really
impress you. That Wandale tore his ACL during the breakout game. I think he was at like 10 for 100 already in that game and then got the injury. What could have been for the rest of the season. But Sterling Shepard, after an Achilles injury, coming back from that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not betting completely against Shepard. I think he will be involved. He is at a 9.0 on my risk meter.
Oh yeah. But
he is a great player and has the opportunity to be their number one wide receiver. As crazy as it is, 30 years old, catastrophic injury.
Yeah, it's not a
could be the number one.
It's not a non-zero chance. All right, let's go to a voicemail.
Hey, Ballers. Doc here from Atlanta. A little unsolicited love. I just joined a Foot Clan Dynasty League. I've never done Dynasty before. All strangers. And it's been awesome. So this is just me saying I'm surprised. I don't know why, but I am. And it's a good surprise. And thank you, guys. You're doing a service. So I salute and curtsy you.
That is
keep
awesome.
Up the good work. Thanks.
That he gets reception in the middle of the woods like that is...
Were those crickets?
I thought he was just chilling with his parakeets.
Yeah, his birds just chirping away. He's out on the porch.
See, I thought you were going to jump in and say, oh, thanks for the voicemail.
No. thanks for the beautiful birds chirping. But also, that is awesome. Footland Leagues.
The best way to get there is you can just become a part of our Discord community, which is discord.gg/fantasyfootballers. We put all the Foot Clan League stuff up on the Discord. It's a super easy way to find quality players. I mean, nothing ruins a league more than three or four players that aren't paying attention. It just completely snuffs out any of the joy in a league if you don't have active, energetic people that are engaged with their teams and wanting to play. And so we've heard that story many times about people finding lifelong friends in these communities and leagues that, you know, it doesn't matter where you live, right? You just want to be a part of a community of people that love playing and bring that challenge to the game. And like, I'm all for beating grandma in the family league, but
heck yeah.
I mean, Jason definitely
take
is.
Take that, Grams.
I mean, she's been mouthing off.
Yeah.
But yeah, check that out. There's also a link to the Discord on our website in the upper right, thefantasyfootballers.com, if you want to click over there. Appreciate it. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. All right. Neil M. Cherry says he wants to know, how long does it take for us to film every episode?
Oh, well, look at the timestamp at the end of the show, and that's how long it took.
Yeah, for a little longer for the producers.
Well, I'm talking about
the post-production. Right. Not the filming.
The filming is just the capture.
Yeah, I mean, magic. I know everything on this show seems so like edited to perfection sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you'd be surprised to know we don't edit anything. Because Brooks doesn't know how. He's never figured out how to actually clip anything. And so you just put it up, right, Brooks?
Yeah, I'm so thankful you guys are so professional.
Yeah, otherwise you'd have to figure that out.
We can't even trim the beginning and the end. It's just, okay, we're going to record in 3, 2, hit the button, and then it always times up perfect.
No, so for us, it's pretty easy. We sit down, we record, and then these guys get it going. Well, these guys minus, you know.
Yeah. Lazy bones.
Of course. Yeah.
All right, here we go. J. Lucas 1013. How confident are you in Cooper Kupp this season coming off his injury? Is he still in the top tier of wide receivers? Well, good friend, J. Lucas. He's sitting at number one on my rankings.
Yeah, I'd put my confidence very high. I think I have Jefferson number one, but It's let me just verify.
I haven't asked you that.
Oh,
Jason.
No, I'm wrong. Cooper Kupp is number one.
Really?
Yeah.
I love to hear
where,
it.
Where is he for you, Jay?
Cooper Kupp is number two for me. Justin Jefferson did come out on top, so which is surprising because I am as big a Cooper Kupp believer as anyone. He is certainly one of the highest. If you want to know how confident are we in, you know, a 30-year-old, he's coming off of the injury, the team's not that great, yada, 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 nonsense. If I look at my underdog exposure rate, he is near the top of the list. Because if I'm in the middle of the first round and some people are letting Cooper Kupp slide, which I'll take Cooper Kupp basically at 3 or 4, depending on my mood. And I've seen him drop to 7 to me, and I will grab him anywhere in that range. So his, you know, you look at the depth chart for the Rams, and it's like, I don't know how Cooper Kupp doesn't receive 800,000 targets this year. And as far as the injury goes, this was an injury he could have came back from much quicker. They didn't need him to come back at the end of last year. He's got the entire offseason. There is no doubt he'll be ready for the offseason programs. I would assume he is ready to go right now. And, you know, everything should be great for Cooper Kupp going forward.
Just a reminder, 8 games played for Cooper Kupp, 8 full games, in which he averaged 11.5 targets, 9 receptions, over 100 yards, and basically a full touchdown per game. Like,
yeah,
that's what he was averaging.
Matthew Stafford is healthy. He'll be returning. The defense, I think, will be much worse.
No Jalen Ramsey.
And, you know, this is lining up to be a huge opportunity for Stafford and Kupp, I think. I think what Jason said about the wide receiver room is why I think Van Jefferson could have a decent season, because somebody has to. Now, will I be the one taking the second receiver in Los Angeles and putting it out there on this podcast? No, I won't.
Too late.
We'll let somebody else do that.
He's no Terry McLaurin.
No one is.
No, he isn't.
All right, it's time for this. It's the Bijan Minute, yeah. You would have thought it'd stop after the draft, but nope.
Never.
All right, Reneville 81 says, is Bijan Robinson a first-round pick in redraft?
Yep.
Right on the edge for me. I mean, I've got him at running back 7 in my ranking, so, you know, if you're mixing in a couple of the wideouts, maybe Travis Kelce, I think that means yes.
He is a first-round pick to me, and honestly, if you want to take him at the 102, I think that's...
In redraft.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. I would still take Christian McCaffrey ahead of him, but if you want to take the gamble, like if...
If you want to have more fun.
Because here's an issue in draft where you have a slot is like, well, I have the 102, but I want Bijan on my team, but I know I'm supposed to take these other guys. No, man. Like, by the end of the year, Bijan Robinson could easily be the number one overall running back. So I think taking him at the 102 is very reasonable.
I think I like that train of thought where you say which players could be number one overall and reducing – you know, your selection to that group, where I think Jason has Saquon quite a bit higher than I do. Could Saquon be number one overall?
Sure. Yes,
yeah.
He could.
I mean, McCaffrey, Eckler, yeah. Do I think Jacobs? Yeah, I think he's in the mix. Bijan, yeah. Taylor?
So it's just a reminder of you don't have to be locked into what the ADP is telling you. No matter where you draft, there's rankings and there's an ADP and it's telling you this is who probably would go next. Don't worry about that. If you have the belief that Bijan is your guy, take Bijan.
Age 21 rookie running backs with top 15 draft capital over the last decade. Saquon, Zeke, Gurley, CMC. They were all RB1s in their rookie season. Bijan is going to be very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that he'll be a top 3 running back, but I would be genuinely shocked.
Were you kind of?
Yeah, I was getting choked up.
Tearing up a little bit.
You know, this is the Bijan Minute, so you know this is kind of near and dear.
It's the Bijan Minute.
I would be shocked if he's not a running back one at the end of the year. They're going to have him be the center of this offense that is very efficient at running the ball. They're going to pass to him a ton. The volume is there. The only thing, I mean, any running back can get injured, but his security is as high as anyone. And his ceiling is unknown and also as high as anyone.
Yeah, the only question mark in my mind has nothing to do with Bijan. I think Arthur Smith is going to use him correctly. It literally is just, is this quarterback, are there going to be games that he like completely falls on his face and that disrupts his opportunity?
Yes,
like,
but Bijan will carry him.
Well, I'm just bringing it up because like Malik Willis had opportunities and Derrick Henry suffered because of it when it wasn't Ryan Tannehill. Sure. So Desmond Ridder, can he at least competently execute an offense more often than not? That's the only question mark that I have for top three potential. Higher upside in dynasty leagues from K Belize 7. Is it Jerry Jeudy or Michael Pittman?
I would go Jerry Jeudy there.
That's where I'm at too.
I would go Jerry Jeudy.
He's a year younger. When he was on the field last year, he had a really good target market share. I don't think Cortland Sutton is long for this team. And if you're talking about the highest upside, that means both quarterbacks are good. Russell Wilson gets it together and he's good. And Anthony Richardson, it turns and develops and is good. But Anthony Richardson is still going to be a mobile, guy. Whereas we know that Russell Wilson has supported high-end wide receiver ones over the past. So I think ceiling-wise, you're looking at Jeudy, who's also had his fifth-year contract picked up. So he's basically under contract for two more years.
All right, that is going to do it for today's episode. But one more reminder, Jason, who is choked up. I don't know if you have it in you, but the Megala Show, live in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater, Saturday, August 26th, the only live show of the year. Come, take part. You will not regret it, I promise. BallersLive.com. Go get your tickets. We hope to see you there. Another episode on Thursday. Thanks for joining us today. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. And since you're hanging around, I want to invite you personally to become part of our thriving fantasy football community. You can get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools and resources, and of course the personal satisfaction of supporting an independent podcast. You can learn more at jointhefoot.com.